laser tag if your laser gun is not working. You have no weapon, right? We've been in this series on the armor of God, and if you've ever thought of it, really there's one offensive weapon in the armor of God, and that's the sword of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Ephesians 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. Lord, would you open our eyes to see the wonderful things that you have for us today? Would you speak to us afresh? We are listening. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so like I said a minute ago, the sword is the offensive weapon in the armor of God. That's how we fight back against the schemes of the devil. Now, we've kind of talked a little bit about this along the way, but I want to talk about it more specifically today. Now, there's a lot of ways to apply this. We're going to look at four different ways to apply that. Here's the first way. The first way, or a first way, that we can take up the sword of the Spirit is this. Use God's written word during temptation, when we feel tempted. Use God's written word when we feel tempted. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not really people. It's hard to remember that sometimes in the moment, but our enemy is really the devil, and we have the victory through Christ. So we fight from victory. It's a unique battle. We fight from victory, not for victory. So we're really enforcing Christ's victory. I guess you could say it that way. So we use the written word of God to fight back against the devil. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So in a sense, in a lot of ways, the battleground for temptation is in our mind. And the devil will say things to us, and then if we agree with him, that's how he gains influence. He can't force us to do anything. So he has to kind of deceive us. And once we agree with that deception, we end up doing it ourselves. So when we agree with him, we start doing the things he's tempting us with. So how do you take every thought captive and make it obey Christ or make it obedient to Christ? We use God's word. So for example, if I start to hear a thought that doesn't line up with God's word, I fight back with scripture. Here's maybe a common example, road rage. All right. Now, I'm not going to make you raise your hand if you struggle with road rage, but we've all seen people who have struggled with road rage. And let's say we're that person, and we're in the car, and someone cuts us off. And then in that moment, we hear, like, the thought, I can't believe that person cut you off. How disrespectful of you. Right? Now, in that moment, I have a choice I can make. I can agree with that choice, and normally if I agree with that, there comes a second thought, I can't believe they disrespected you. You need to show them that you're in charge. And then you get up on their bumper or whatever. I mean, that escalates very quickly. But do you see how when you agree with it, it gets worse and gets worse. And then the influence gets stronger and the influence gets stronger. It gets a stronger hold on us. I mean, that's what a stronghold is. Anything that has a strong hold on you. And the more I do it, the stronger that influence becomes. So like bad habits, hang-ups, addictions. These are all areas where we've like made agreement with the devil's lies repeatedly, over and over. And the more we give in, the stronger that influence is, the stronger that hold gets on us. So what do you do if you're in that kind of a situation? You break agreement with that lie or that temptation, and then you make agreement with God's word. A good place to start is just to say, ask the Lord, Lord, where have I made agreement with the devil's lies? If it's road rage, If I've made agreement, like, yeah, just because he cut me off, that must mean he's disrespecting me. You know, who knows what the real situation is? Maybe his mirrors are broken. I mean, you know, maybe he didn't even realize he was doing it. Maybe they're struggling with, you know, there's all kinds of other reasons. That's not the only possible reason. But if I assume that what I heard is the truth, even though it's a lie, then that starts to begin that agreement with the lie. So we break agreement with that. You basically say, no, I'm not going to think that anymore. I break agreement with that. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to do that. That's not what Jesus would have done. I'm going to follow him. So it's kind of like you've got like the thought, which is where the temptation is, all right? Then if you don't resist and you give in, it turns into like a bad choice. And then if you kind of keep doing that bad choice over and over, that's when it becomes like the bad habit. And it's easy to get stuck there. The way it's supposed to go is we hear the same thought, the same temptation, but we fight back with God's word, the sword of the Spirit. We resist and we say, no, I'm going to make a good choice. And the more we get used to making good choices, the more that becomes a good habit for us. So using God's word at that specific moment, right after the temptation, that's the important part. We need to use it at the right time. It's one thing to say a Bible verse on a Sunday morning, but use it in the moment. I mean, you say it on Sunday morning too. There's nothing wrong with that. But use it in the moment. We use it as our weapon against the attack. If I'm just kind of like, well, I'll just let it be, let it happen, that probably means I'm not resisting. We need to intentionally fight back with God's word and make that thought obedient to Christ. That's what Jesus did, right? If we think about the temptation in the wilderness, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. There are three different temptations that are listed. We're just going to look at the second one. They all three have kind of the same principle behind it. Luke chapter 4, we'll start in verse 5. And the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me. And I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He responded with scripture. That's how he fought back. And he was God. If anybody didn't need to do that, you know, it'd have been him. But he did. Maybe we should, right? Now, he didn't have to break agreement with the devil because he hadn't made a agreement with the devil. But he did do that second part, which was reinforce, remind himself, no, I'm going to worship the Lord God and serve him only. So that kind of brings up an interesting point. How many of us memorize scripture? Maybe a better way to say it is, when's the last time you memorized a scripture? Most of us probably have a couple memorized. If you're like me, I remember kind of doing that like as a kid in Sunday school. Like we had Bible verse drills or something like that, you know? And that was just part of what we did. But like as an adult, when's the last time you memorized a Bible verse? When I was in college, I had an older friend of mine. He kind of became my mentor. We would study through the Bible together and we'd share what we felt like God was saying to us. And it was really edifying. We were both growing a lot. And then he was like, hey, let's practice memorizing verses. And I was like, oh yeah, I haven't done that since I was a kid. And I started to do it. And we'd call each other and be like, all right, you go. And so he'd say, this is the verse I'm trying to memorize. And he'd practice it or whatever. And then we'd double check it. And then I'd go, you know, I didn't think about it until just recently, but what were we doing? We were training. We're using that sword. Yeah, you can use the sword one way, but I mean, how many different ways do you see in a real fight, all these different angles, all these different moves, I guess you could call it. You're training for different scenarios. I want to challenge you. Maybe you've not done that in a long time. I want to challenge you to make scripture memory part of your day, your devotional, whether it's daily or weekly or monthly. I mean, start somewhere. Just find those little pockets of time to practice. How many levels are you on the app on your phone, the game on your phone, right? That's where I had a sobering moment with the Lord one time. I was like, oh, I'm up to level 500. And I was like, how many hours have I spent on this stupid game making bubbles pop because they match color? You know, like, I'll play 500 levels of a game, but I won't memorize one verse a week or one verse a month. I'm not condemning us. I was just like, I was convicted. How many hours of TV do I watch? I said that to the Lord one time. Lord, I want to spend time with you, but I just don't have the read my Bible, but I don't have time. And I felt like God said, how many hours of TV do you watch a day? And when I was honest, it was like 3 or 4. I was using it to veg out. Finally get the kids in the bed. I'm exhausted. Ugh, let's put the TV on. I don't even care what I'm seeing. I don't even like the shows half the time. It's just on. So I stopped doing that. I started looking for better ways to spend my time. And one of those is spending time in God's Word. Scripture memory is another one of those. So what's important is to think of it. There are some scriptures you can memorize for specific situations. One that I used, that I learned in college, I use probably more common than any other. So I encourage you to just jot the reference down. You can go back and, memorize it if you feel led to those specific scriptures. James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I used that one so many times in college. In the moment, I'd feel tempted and I'd say, sometimes I just say it out loud. Lord, I submit myself to you. I submit myself to you. Devil, I resist the devil and he will flee from me. Devil, leave. Father, I draw near to you now. Thank you for drawing near to me. By the time I got to the end of that, most of the time that temptation had subsided. Sometimes it hadn't, so I'd just do it again. 2 or 3 times of that, and I forgot what the temptation even was. If we do it the way Jesus did it, it actually kind of works. What do you know? Right? Imagine that. That's right. I'm not being ugly. I'm kind of being lighthearted. Because it's silly. It's so simple sometimes. All right, here's another one. Maybe you're feeling temptation for anger. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to equip us. Here's another angle you can take. All right, if you struggle with anger, jot that one down. I've got it written down. I've got multiple verses. I struggle with anger. This is one I need help with. I was working on this the other day. We have 2 little ones, and one of them is almost 2 years old, and she has a very loud scream. And so when she's screaming, Daddy, it's hard not to get worked up. And I was literally at the dinner table saying, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And she's screaming, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to speak. All right? There's another one, Proverbs 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I don't have that one up there, but like this, I'm trying. I'm at least attempting to do what the Lord has instructed us to do. Here's another one. Maybe you struggle with unforgiveness or bitterness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Here's one. We've got 2 more. Temptation to be anxious or worried. Anybody ever struggle with worry? How am I going to pay my bills? Those kinds of things, other types of things. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's fine to say it on Sunday morning, but say it in the moment when I feel worried. That's when I need to really say it. Because it breaks agreement with the fear. The what if game. What if this happens? What if it? No, that's making agreement with the lie. No, I'm not going to say what if. I'm going to say, I cast all my anxiety on you because I know you care for me, Jesus. And I know that you are in charge. You're taking care of me. And last one, temptation to fear. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. We teach that one to Harrison. What are we doing? We're training him. You remember Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off, Mr. Miyagi, right? What was Mr. Miyagi doing? He was training Daniel's son, right? Daniel, he was training him. He made him practice it on a car when it didn't matter. So that when somebody threw a punch, he already knew what to do. That's what training is. We train when we're not under attack, so that when we are under attack, we're already ready to go. When I'm in a temptation, that's not the time to try to memorize a scripture. That's the time to pull up the scripture that I've memorized already. If I'm praying for someone to be healed, and I've never done it before, and they've got cancer, maybe I should have trained on some smaller stuff on the way. So that it wasn't the first time I'm trying to cram for a healing, right? I'm being lighthearted in a sense, but there's a training aspect that I'm realizing I as a Christian have not taken hold of. There's a training aspect that we've overlooked. We weren't there in person with Christ, and so we didn't see a lot of the training that took place with his disciples, but he was constantly training them for 3 years. That's why he said, when the storm, you remember they were in the storm, and he said, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? He's reminding them, put your trust in me in the moment. That's how we take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. We use God's written word to fight back. All right, let's keep going. A second way to use the sword of the Spirit, listen for God's specific word in the moment. Another way you could say is maybe listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying to you in that moment. Here's an example. You don't have to turn there. We've looked at this before. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. It's Philip the evangelist. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. That was a specific word for Philip in that specific situation. But Philip was listening, and he obeyed. There's sometimes for myself, kind of a personal example, there's times where I just feel like I feel under attack for a couple days, and it's just like I can tell I'm like not in a good space, like mentally. And so I hear it, like not like an audible voice, but just in my heart, I just kind of hear like the Lord say, call so-and-so. And I'll pick up the phone and I'll call one of my friends, one of my mentors, and say, hey man, I'm having a hard time. Can you just be a sounding board for me? And I start to, you know, vent whatever I need to. And all of a sudden, by the end of that time, he's able to speak into that and to help encourage me. And by the end of the conversation, I feel like I'm reconnecting with the Lord. That was a specific word for me. But the times where I ignore that specific word to make a phone call, and I don't, and I proceed, and most of the time, that's when I make a mess of that situation. I'm overcome with fear or frustration or anger, and then I just make it worse. I need to listen for that specific word. Now, God's specific word always lines up with his written word. Let me say that again. God's specific word in that moment always lines up with his written word. If it doesn't seem like it does, it may not be God speaking. Sometimes it can be the devil. Sometimes it can be just like the influence of the world. You hear it a lot, so you think it. Sometimes it can be just like our flesh. Or sometimes it's just like our own thought, even if it's not like a bad thing. It can just be like our own imagination. So that's why we always test it by God's written word. And you can kind of get off onto the either side, like in the ditch. I feel like there's some people who like only listen to God's written word. They only read it, but they won't listen to God's specific word in the moment. And so they miss opportunities like, go and join this chariot. They miss opportunities to, hey, ask that lady at the store how she's feeling, or how's it going, you know, when she seems to be upset or something. You miss those opportunities. On the other extreme is people who maybe only listen to God's specific word, but never spend any time in God's written word. So then they're kind of not grounded. They don't know they don't know how to discern if they're being deceived or not. So if things are not going well in our lives, maybe you can ask yourself those two things. Am I spending quality time with God in his written word? Am I allowing him to shape me through his written word? Jesus slipped away all the time to spend time with the Father. He didn't have to. He's the Son of God. I mean, he literally could have just said, I don't need to do that. I'm the Son of God. But yet he did it. If the Son of God felt like it was important to go spend time regularly with the Father, maybe we should. And this is not a condemnation. Think of it like this. What if your best friend came up to you and said, man, I'm starving. What would you say to him? Yeah, he'd say, when was the last time you ate? And he's like, oh, like 3 weeks ago. What would you say? You'd say, go get some food. Like, you're not condemning him. You're like, hey, you know, friendly reminder, go get food, you know? When's the last time you ate spiritually? If you're, and I'm saying this to myself, there's many times where I was like, I couldn't even remember the last time I spent time with the Lord. You know, before I got into ministry especially, it's easy when you got like a secular job, the cares of the world, you just get distracted. And I was like, I don't even remember the last time I spent time with God. I wonder why I'm starving spiritually. So a simple, friendly reminder, go spend some time with the Lord in his written word. All right? The other part of that, so am I reading God's written word? Am I listening for God's specific word and being obedient? If I'm not, maybe I'm missing out on some things, some blessings God has for me. Go and join this chariot. That guy got saved that day. That was a blessing to Philip. So God wants us to do both. He wants us to read his written word. And he wants us to listen to his specific word. Here's another example of like a specific word. 1 Corinthians 12:8 talks about this. This is where it talks about spiritual gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So like a word of knowledge. And we probably don't think about that very often. But a word of knowledge is essentially like kind of like a piece of information or a specific piece of information that the Lord gives you that you couldn't have known naturally. It's supernatural. It's a spiritual gift. All right? There's a couple different examples throughout the Bible. I'll just kind of point out one. In Acts, there's a man named Ananias and Sapphira. They sell this property, and they bring the proceeds to the disciples' feet. Now, they don't bring all of it. They just bring part of it, but they act like they're bringing all of it. They're lying. So then the Holy Spirit gives Peter a word of knowledge. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Like, he didn't know that naturally. The Holy Spirit gave him a word of knowledge. And he actually says to his wife, when she comes in, he actually tells her how much it was. And she says, yes, it was that much. The Lord gave Peter the specific amount. Isn't that crazy? If you're interested, go back and read Acts chapter 5, the first part of it. It's just an example of a word of knowledge. Now, what about a current day? Go with me on this. I'm looking for opportunities to listen for God's specific word. So with Harrison, we play a lot with toys, and we lose a lot of toys. You ever had kids that lose their toy like 5 minutes after they play with it? Well, that happens. He was looking for this car, like a parrot car one day. It was shaped like a parrot, I guess. And normally we'll just start looking for it, and I get frustrated. But I had been trying to like look for those opportunities. So I said, you know what, Harrison, let's stop. Let's ask God to show us where this car is. So he said, okay. So I said, Heavenly Father, would you show us where the parrot car is? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I said, let's just kind of sit and wait for a minute. So we sat there and wait. Sometimes we hear something. Sometimes we don't. We just keep looking and just try to be guided as best as we can. But that particular day, I heard, like kind of in my heart, check the car. I was like, oh, okay. That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that naturally. So I was like, okay. So I started to go out to the car. And as I'm getting ready to open the door, we've got like a window next to it. And there's like this shadow on the other side of the window. I was like, what's that? I open it up. There's a dog there. It's our neighbor's dog. I was like, oh, it's their neighbor's dog. As I start to go to the car, I realize, wait a minute, this is the neighbor's dog. It's off leash. It jumped the fence or something. So I'm like, well, I don't want the dog to get lost. So I'm kind of thinking of what to do. I get to the car. I find the parrot toy thing. Praise the Lord. And then, don't judge me, but we found a chicken nugget on the floor. We have kids, and they sometimes will chuck the food. And I was like, oh, I'll just grab this chicken nugget, and I'll lure the dog. And so he starts to follow me, because there wasn't a leash or anything. So he starts to follow me. I would go back around to the other side of the house where the fence is, and I can see. At that exact moment, his owners walk out at the same time saying, Nico, Nico is the dog's name. I'm like, hey, I got your dog. Long story short, we get the dog back. That was a very specific, I guess I'd call it a word of knowledge. I don't know exactly what to call it. I don't really care about the label, but I was listening for the Holy Spirit, right? I was practicing on a time when it didn't matter. It's just a car, right? A toy. Why am I practicing? Because if I get used to hearing God's word on something simple like that, then when I need to really hear God's word, I'm already used to it. I'm already used to it. I'm practicing when it doesn't matter so that when there is a situation that really is like urgent, I'm not starting from scratch. Are we looking for opportunities to listen for God's specific word? I know that's a weird example, and you might be thinking, that sounds crazy. And if so, I get it. I probably would have thought that a couple years ago. But how many times have we missed those blessings because we're not listening for God's specific word? I mean, that dog could have gotten lost. It could have gotten hit by a car. I mean, it was like a double blessing. Harrison found his car, his toy, and the owners found their dog. I mean, it was a younger dog. It wasn't, you know, it was still basically a puppy. I don't think it would have known what to do, you know? So God wants to bless us and to take care of us. Sometimes I think we're just missing it because he's saying specific stuff to us. And we're not even listening for it. Here's another example. I've got it written up here. Do you remember the passage about blind Bartimaeus with Jesus? Okay, so that's this passage. This is a word of knowledge regarding healing. So Jesus walks by, blind Bartimaeus starts to yell out, son of David, have mercy on me. All right, so we pick up kind of in the midst of that story. And many people rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Now, I've missed this so many times. Who is, Jesus actually doesn't call Bartimaeus. Who does he call? The other people next to him. He says, "Call him." He tells the person next to the blind man, "Call the blind man." So in the case of a word of knowledge, I've heard there was a pastor of a Baptist church, and he got one of these. He was in the middle of preaching. He said, "I don't know." He had heard about the concept of word of knowledge, and he said, "Like, I think I might be having one. I'm not sure." He said, "I don't know. The Lord is just kind of laying on my heart some condition." It was like some medical condition, and he shares it. And some lady in the back raises her hand. She says, "That's what I have." He didn't even know what it was. And she says, "That's what I have." And normally when the Lord highlights that and says, "Call that person with that issue, say, who's got this?" That means he wants to heal it. So they brought the lady up. They prayed for her. She got healed. It launched a healing revival in that church. That man still, like 30 years later, still operates in healing primarily through words of knowledge. He hears the Lord say something about some sickness or ailment or pain, and someone's like, "Oh, that's what I have." And then they pray, and then Jesus heals them. Like legitimate healings. I'm not talking about like scams. I'm talking about like medically verified healings. God still heals. We know that. God still gives words of knowledge. Are we listening? Are we listening? Let me just say this, a word of caution. Let's try to avoid just coming out and saying, "God said this, blank." All right. I think there's a lot of abuses with that phrase. Come at it a little more on the low end. You know, I feel like maybe God's saying this. You know, I'm hearing this. Does this mean anything to you? Come at it with a little bit of humility. And at the same time, now if someone says to me, "God told me this," I used to get so cynical and skeptical and upset when people would say that. I'd be like, "Who are you to say what God said?" Now I get it. They're trying to listen, and they're at least trying to be obedient. Maybe they're missing it. Maybe it's just their own thoughts, but at least they're trying. So now I can at least appreciate the fact that they're trying. We always test God's specific word with his written word, okay, to make sure it's actually from the Lord. But we need to have a safe place to practice that, right? So if you feel like you might be hearing something from the Lord, phrase it that way. "I don't know, I might be hearing something from the Lord. I could be wrong. Does this mean anything to you?" And let's give a little grace, even if they miss it. Hey, thanks for being willing to listen to the Lord and being obedient and trying to share it, even though I know it feels really awkward. The devil wants us to stay in bondage. He does not want us to listen to the specific word so that person can stay sick. So let's listen for God's specific word. All right, here's the third way. Use God's word for growing and bearing fruit. We're familiar with Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, we're familiar with bearing fruit. Turn a couple pages over to Luke chapter 8. Turn to Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage. I just really want to highlight a couple things. I encourage you to read the whole passage if you've not before. He talks about four different types of soil. The seed is the word of God. There's four different types of soil. There's the path. There's the rocky ground. There's the thorns. And then there's the good soil. We're going to kind of work backwards. Let's start at the end. Look at verse 15. Luke 8, verse 15. "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast with an honest or in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." So if we're good soil, when we hear the word of God, when we hear the gospel, we receive it, and it takes root in us, and it grows and bears fruit. Am I receiving God's word when I hear it? Even if it's hard to hear, even if it's outside my comfort zone. I never heard of word of knowledge before. That's why I brought up the scripture. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible, right? I just want to do what the Bible says. I'm not trying to come up with stuff on my own. I want to do what is clearly explained in the Bible. Am I receiving God's word when I hear it? Or am I choked by the thorns? Look back at verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Are we more cared about the pleasure of life than we are following the Lord? I'm speaking to myself here. Are we more cared about, or are we more concerned about the cares of life and the riches of life, being comfortable? If so, maybe that's why our fruit is not growing. Am I holding fast to God's word and clinging to it? See, when I'm bearing fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, then when I hear that temptation from the devil, I'm much more naturally inclined to resist because I'm already bearing good fruit. That's how we can use God's word in this way. It's kind of an indirect way, I guess you could say. I grow fruit, so I'm less likely to give in. I more naturally resist the temptation. All right, now the last part. Look at the first soil. It was the path, right? The birds came and took the seed sown on that path. Now, why did the birds come and take the seed off the path, but not the other three soils? Because the path was hardened, right? Is your heart hardened toward God? Is mine? Maybe not 100% of the area, but maybe in just this one path, it's real hard towards God. Maybe you've been through a really difficult circumstance, and I get it. And you have that moment, and it's like you have to make a choice. Do I say, God, how could you? And I harden myself to him? Or do I say, God, I don't get it. I don't get it, but I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. And I stay soft toward the Lord. Lack of fruit can be, not always, but it can be a sign of a hardened heart toward God. Maybe I've hardened my heart toward others, which is kind of in a way of hardening my heart towards God's word, because God's word tells me to love my neighbor, to love my enemy, and to forgive others. Right? So will I soften my heart towards another person to let God's love in, to redeem those broken relationships? I mean, how many family relationships have we seen broken? Friends that have a falling out, coworkers that can't stand to be around each other. Is our heart softened toward each other or hardened toward each other? Will we allow God's love to come in, and will we forgive those people? Why? Because Christ has forgiven us. Once we do that, then we can start growing and bearing fruit again in those areas. Lack of fruit can be a sign of a hardened heart toward God and toward others. All right, here's the last way we're going to look at today, of using or taking up the sword of the Spirit. We use God's word for sowing. Sowing God's word. That's how we advance the kingdom. You know, all this time, the passage of the sower, the parable of the sower, I've never really thought, like it says, the seed is the word of God, but I've never really thought, who's the sower? It's us. I mean, it's God, but it's also us. We're co-laborers, right? So it's God through us. It's the Holy Spirit through us, but it's actually us that are doing the sowing. God gives us the seed to sow. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out. Otherwise, Jesus would have just done it all himself. If we're not sowing, then why are we even involved? That's what the Great Commission is about. Here's our last passage. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. It's just a couple verses. 1 Corinthians 3. This is Paul speaking here. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 4. For one says, I follow Paul. And another, I follow Apollos. Are you not merely being human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, or co-laborers. You are God's field, God's building. Paul says in verse 6, I planted. What is he planting? Seed. What's the seed? The word of God. He's sowing the gospel. So my question is, are we sowing? Are we planting? If you know anything about the Dead Sea, you know that there's no life in it. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. The reason why is because there's no outlet. Water pours into the Dead Sea, but it doesn't pour out anywhere. So life can't continue to grow. If we only, listen to me, if we only take in God's word, but we don't pour it out, we're going to miss out on the abundant life Christ has for us. We have to do both. So if you're maybe you're in a rut, ask yourself, am I only receiving? Am I actually pouring out to anything, to anybody else? Yes, we need to be receiving, but we need to be pouring out. You could say it this way. We need to be growing, but we also need to be sowing. We need to do both. And it's interesting, at the end of that armor of God passage in Ephesians, at the very end, it says, pray for all the saints, and also pray for me. You know, Paul's saying it. He's reminding them, don't just receive, pour out. That's part of our armor, is not being only focused on growing in the Lord. Yes, we need to do that, absolutely. And we need to sow. That's how we keep that life, that abundant life. So let's be intentional about growing and sowing. After Jesus went up into heaven, right? The disciples are there. They're bearing fruit. They're growing, obviously. And they were sowing. And thousands were being saved, healed, delivered. They were doing both. They were sowing and multiplying disciples, which means to make disciples who make disciples. Are we making disciples? When's the last time you led someone to the Lord? When's the last time I led someone to the Lord? That's not a condemnation. It's just an honest question. If you have to go, I don't know, maybe we've got a little work we could be doing on the sowing part. I know I do. When's the last time you prayed for someone to be healed and saw Jesus heal them? When's the last time you you can do it in a lot of different ways. I'm not talking about like, let's stand on a street corner with a megaphone. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. Though if the Lord leads you, do it, right? There's a lot of different ways. I'm just saying, are we even thinking about it? Is it even on our radar? Or are we just in the receiving mode? I'm going to come to church and receive. What does the pastor have for me today? It's like a consumerism mentality. I want to receive. I want to consume it, but I don't want to give out anything. There's a lot of different ways to sow. Verse 9, it says, we are God's fellow workers. God is the one who does the real work. He brings forth the growth, the increase, right? We give him all the glory. He's just invited us to join him. Last thing. When I was a kid, it was like 8 or 9, my dad had like a side job, like a lawn care business. He'd get up on Saturdays and he'd go mow yards. And he'd get up super early. So my two brothers and my sister, they'd still be asleep. My mom would be home with the kids. And every once in a while, I'd wake up and I'd see him getting ready. And he'd say, hey, you want to come with me? Like, yeah. So I'd get so excited. We'd go. I mean, I'm 8 or 9. There's not a whole lot I can do. I'm literally just walking around picking up sticks so that, you know, he can just mow on through without having to get off, pick up the sticks. So I'm doing my little part, and he's doing all the rest. And I loved it. I have some very fond memories of helping my dad because I got to be involved with what he was doing. Every morning, our Heavenly Father wakes us up and says, good morning. Do you want to join me in what I'm doing? We miss out on those blessings. How many times have I missed out on those blessings because I just want to go back to sleep? He doesn't force us. He doesn't make us feel bad about it, but he's inviting us to be involved in the work that he's doing. We do our little part. Share what we feel like God has laid on our hearts to share. God does the rest. Offer to pray. God does the rest. Like, we do very, very little. We're just picking up sticks, but God wants us to be involved. What's our response? The sword of the Spirit. Are we fighting back with God's written word when we feel tempted? Are we trying to be intentional to memorize scriptures? Are we listening for God's specific word, being obedient? Are we looking for opportunities to listen for his specific word, even when it doesn't matter, as a way of training ourselves? Are we growing in the Lord and bearing fruit? Are we trying to keep our heart softened to the Lord and to others? And are we sowing for the Lord, making disciples? Are we planting? Are we watering? Are we picking up sticks alongside Jesus? Let's take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are a good Father. And your invitation to us is always one of gentleness and kindness. So I pray that people hear, that we hear your heart, that you invite us. You don't condemn us, but you invite us. Lord, may our response be, yes, I want to come Here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, would you help us to grow in the areas where are not growing and not bearing fruit? Would you show us the areas where maybe we've become hardened towards you or hardened toward others so that we can grow and bear fruit for your glory and so that we can receive those blessings that you have stored up for us? Lord, may we receive everything that you have for us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.